Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on this Wednesday morning, May the 11th, 2022. 14 minutes past the hour, 64 degrees and sunny skies here in Marion. And we have got a great show ahead of you this morning. Just a little over a week ago, we saw the Republican primary for governor here in Ohio. Mike DeWine won that primary with a minority vote. Our current governor won a minority vote, 48.1% of the vote in, a little over 500,000 votes in his own primary. The primary challenger in that primary was Jim Renacci, who received 28% of the vote, won two counties, and got nearly 300,000 votes in the Republican primary. He's been a good friend of this program. We're so glad to welcome him back for the first hour this morning to discuss what went on, where we go from here, and what the situation is. It's a pleasure to welcome to these microphones, as it always has been, Jim Renacci. Jim, how are you?
Good morning, Scott. We're doing good. We're back on the road. I've got some business to attend to, but everything's great, and we're looking forward to still making sure Ohio moves in the right direction.
Jim, last Tuesday night, Mike DeWine did win the primary. What do you feel happened? If you analyze the situation, what went on?
Well, look, we're still analyzing it. I think something very interesting occurred. Normally, in a Republican primary, all of our modeling showed that there'd be about 825,000 votes cast. And in fact, if you go back to 2018, competitive primary and a competitive Senate race, too, governor's race and Senate race, and there were 820-some-thousand votes cast in the Republican primary. 2020, there were 700,000 votes cast in the Republican primary. So our modeling was all based on about 825,000. But something very unique happened. There were almost 1.1 million votes cast in the Republican primary this time, and even though there was only about a 30% participation in voting, normally we'd have about a 40% participation, there was about a 70% participation in Republican voting, which there's just some really odd numbers, Scott, and one of the things we believe happened, we'll know more in about 3 weeks, is that we believe Democrats definitely crossed over. So something caused almost 300,000 more votes to be cast in a primary than expected. And I think in the end, it does appear that somebody, either independents came back to the Republican Party, which is a possibility, or Democrats crossed over. So that's what we think happened, because up to about 3 days before the election, we believed we were at a head-to-head with Mike DeWine, and if you take a couple hundred thousand votes away from Mike DeWine, we would have been at a head-to-head. So we're going to continue to analyze and make some observations, but you can't do that until all the votes are certified, and then you can go to the crosstabs and see what happens.
Now, as when we look at the primary, we the other big statewide race, of course, was the Senate race in the Republican primary. They received a little over a million votes as well. So is the contention that Democrats crossed over to become Republicans, or they crossed over to get the Republican candidate that they wanted to face in the fall?
Well, if you go back about a month ago, Democrats were advertising that they wanted Mike DeWine to win, and they wanted Matt Dolan to win. And if you notice, Matt Dolan's surge still came in third, but he he was at about 9% of the vote throughout all the polling. And then if you'll notice, Matt Dolan ended up in third place with close to 20%. So something happened there. And, of course, something happened with the governor's race. But we believe this was really Democrats wanting they wanted Dolan and they wanted DeWine. Now, again, that's an assumption. We'll know the numbers better in a few weeks. But it does appear they were advertising. They were talking about it. They were pushing it out on social media. We want DeWine and Dolan cross over, vote for a Republican. And what's very unique this year in Ohio is you could cross over to be a Republican, and you could cross back over and be a Democrat in August when we have the second primary. So they knew that. There was an opportunity. There was an opportunity for them to actually make a decision, which is one of the problems, Scott, that I believe occurred in Ohio, which needs to be changed. We can't have Democrats making decisions as to who the Republican nominee is. And the other thing that I think we learned out of this election is you really need to have runoff elections. I do believe in a runoff. Mike DeWine would have had difficulties, but I also believe in the Senate race, Republicans nominated an individual with only 32% of the vote. Now, the question is, if there was a runoff, it would have been between J.D. Vance, of course, and Josh Mandel. And the question is, in a runoff, who would have won that race? So, again, things I do think we need to change in Ohio, we have to make sure that crossover, parties, the Republican Party should decide who the Republican nominee is, and the Democrat Party should determine who the Democrat nominee is. And then I do think we need to really look at making sure we have runoff as well.
I want to talk about your primary, and I also do want to talk about that Senate primary and get your take on it. But we talked about a week before the election, maybe less than a week before the primary, and I had said to you, Joe Blystone is garnering quite a bit of the anti-DeWine vote. And clearly, DeWine, Democrat votes or not, did not get 50% of the Republican primary, and that's quite unheard of for a sitting governor, got about 48%. Joe Blystone, although, got 21.8%, 232,000 votes, won 22 counties. In Ohio, a quarter of the counties. Clearly, if you take his votes and your votes, that would be more than what Mike DeWine had. Did Joe Blystone cost you this election? We talked about that beforehand.
Yeah, well, look, I think people were upset with DeWine. I think Joe Blystone got out ahead of the game, and people just wanted it different. He put a cowboy hat on, and people thought that was kind of unique. The problem is, and it's another thing we have to do in Ohio, is we really have to analyze our candidates. I mean, what's interesting is Joe Blystone put an image out there and people voted for him. But if you really look at his background, he had no ability to ever be a governor. I mean, his background, his experience, I mean, it really did a deep dive. So I think what we have to learn from that is, there is a sentiment of people that just want 100% change. And that's kind of interesting because I think that's happening across the country. The problem is, do you want change for change's sake, or do you want change for all the right reasons? So another learning lesson is that there are people that clearly just want the system changed. And I want the system changed too, but it's like, asking your neighbor, who's a salesman, to repair your car. I mean, if you have no background experience in repairing your car, you're not going to get your car repaired. You might change mechanics, but it might turn out to be worse. So I think that's just another thing we got to work within the system and make sure people realize that you just can't vote just to absolutely change the system, because you could actually make it worse. But I give him credit, cowboy hat and the beard did get the notoriety, did get some votes. What's really interesting, if you look at his background, the cowboy hat and the beard just showed up. thought it was a gimmick that actually worked. But let's face it, people were just tired of DeWine, and that was really the key. In the end, though, Scott, I got to go back. You take 200,000 votes away from DeWine if there was a crossover, and it wouldn't have mattered if Joe Blystone was in the race. I would have defeated Mike DeWine.
Even if, and again, we don't know if Democrats crossed over or not, we'll find that out, but even if they had, if Blystone had not been there, do you believe you would have picked up the majority of his 232,000 votes? Because clearly, I don't think they were DeWine voters.
Well, I think there's always an opportunity. I mean, again, it's hard to judge where those votes would have went. I think the majority of them would have come with me. But remember, it still would have been interesting at a head-to-head race between Mike DeWine and Jim Rae. I definitely believe I would have won. But if we had the, if we did a runoff vote, then we would have had that opportunity. And we would have seen very quickly who was able to garner the most votes.
Just one more thing about the Blystone vote. 22 counties. I don't think anybody expected that. A quarter of the counties in Ohio, and albeit there are a lot of the more rural counties, not all of them, but the majority of them, but for a man who had never been involved in politics, who is running against an incumbent governor and a strong competitor who got more votes than he did, yourself, to win a quarter of the counties in Ohio, what does that say about Ohio as we go in to the fall? I mean, were you impressed by that a quarter of the counties went for Joe Blystone?
No, look, I think that's a number that's kind of interesting. Remember, I won 75 counties in 2018 and out of 88, and I still lost to Sherrod Brown. So the number of counties means nothing. Remember, you take a rural county, there's only 2,000 votes, and let's assume Blystone got 600 or 1,200 votes, and mine got 300, and I got 300, and say, wow, Blystone won that county. Very, very limited amount of votes. But I don't think you can ever look at a state and say, wow, you won 21. That means absolutely nothing, because this state is the majority of the population is in about 7 counties. So you could win, like I did, the majority of counties in the state and still lose the statewide election. It's not a race where the more counties you win. That's the one thing. Blystone spent a lot of time in those rural counties. God bless him. But that also shows that he had no knowledge of how to win a race, because you could win every one of those counties and you could still come in third place. So it doesn't matter.
When we look toward the fall now, we now know what the race will be for governor. It will be Nan Whaley on the Democratic side versus Mike DeWine on the Republican side. Now knowing what we know, how do you see that turning out? We're not too far away from that. With Mike DeWine getting 48% of the Republican vote, Nan Whaley getting 65% of the Democratic vote, and your assumption that possibly a lot of DeWine's votes were Democrats who crossed over, does DeWine have a chance in the fall at this point?
Well, look, I think the fall is going to come down to how many Republicans show up and vote for Mike DeWine. Clearly, if Republicans do not show up, Mike DeWine will lose. So I've said that all along. Our polling showed that 35% of Republicans will never vote for Mike DeWine again. So if those 35% do not show up for Mike DeWine, he loses in November. The other thing that's pretty interesting, though, is that Nan Whaley is a very liberal Democrat. So the question is, they're going to be Republicans hold their nose and say, I'm just not going to let Nan Whaley win. That's going to be the race right there. Do Republicans show up? Now, I am still hearing from Republicans across this state, and they are saying they're not going to vote for Mike DeWine. So the race to win will be how many of those votes can Mike DeWine make sure he gets. That's really the race for him. And if he doesn't pull the Republicans in, he will lose.
Well, and that becomes an interesting question for Jim Renacci. At this point, Will you vote for Mike DeWine? We know what the race is going to be in the fall. Nan Whaley and Mike DeWine, what will you do?
You know, I'm going to worry about November on in November. I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen. I think Mike DeWine would need to earn my vote, you know, between now and then. I mean, he was a very liberal governor as well, not a progressive liberal governor, but a very liberal governor in his voting. So I think at the end, I do not want to see Nan Whaley win. I will never vote for Nan Whaley. The question will be, I'm going to watch where Governor DeWine goes over the next few months. I mean, I want a governor who's willing to change our state, make it a better state. But remember, we also have a House and a Senate. I want to really concentrate to make sure the House and the Senate has a veto-proof majority so that they can get some things done, because let's face it, even if Nan Whaley wins, if we have a strong House and a strong Senate with a veto-proof majority, then the House and Senate can start doing their job and just overriding the vetoes of Nan Whaley, or, you know, the potential vetoes of Nan Whaley. So in the end, I think Governor DeWine has to bring those Republican voters over. I'm one of them. And he's going to have to show us all the reasons why we should vote for him, even though he is governed not like a Republican. But again, I would not vote for Nan Whaley, absolutely not. And we got to make sure that we get a governor who is going to run our state like a Republican.
Is there a situation right now, or something Mike DeWine could do, that between here and the fall, that could not only get Jim Renacci's vote, but could get his endorsement? I mean, you garnered 28% of the vote.
Oh, absolutely. There's always something. You know, look, I reached out to Mike DeWine on election night. I told him I'll do whatever I can to help. We do have a fractured party, a seriously fractured party. You think about it, the Republican Party is now divided. I call it into four quadrants. We have the establishment quadrant. We have the conservative quadrant. We have the moderate quadrant. And now we have the, what I call the, I just want to kick everybody out quadrant. Those would be the Blystone vote. So there are four groups that Mike DeWine has to be concerned about, and I told him I would do whatever I can to help him bring those groups together, because that's really what's needed for Mike DeWine to win this race in November.
I do believe in the conversation we had prior to the election, and people are free to listen to it. It is online along with all of our other shows, that you had said that even if you did not win, you could not vote for Mike DeWine. You could not endorse him. What has changed?
Well, look, I still believe there's a lot that has to come out. I mean, if Democrats, Jim Renacci is not somebody who just makes decisions haphazardly. You know, I'm a principled person, and I'm going to continue to look. If Democrats crossed over and elected Mike DeWine, that's going to cause me a whole other thought process. So I just need to look at everything. But if he did get a pure amount of Republicans that supported him, well, then that says that Republicans want him clearly to be the next governor. So I'm one of those people that likes to evaluate and determine what happened and make my decision, you know, as time moves on. I want a state that can grow and prosper. That's my goal. I want a state that runs like Florida. I want all of those things that I believe are important to Ohio, to my children, to my grandchildren. And I just got to make sure that what I do when I vote is that I'm voting for the opportunity for our state to move in that kind of a direction.
At this point, for the 28% of Republicans that voted for you, nearly 300,000 of them, what would you advise them to do in the fall at this point?
Well, at this point, I advise them to do the same thing I'm going to judge a number of things. Let's determine what happened a week ago. If Democrats crossed over, then that clearly shows that there was a much, much greater majority of Republicans who didn't want Governor DeWine to be reelected. We need to look at that. There's just a number of things that everybody should look at, and then they should make their decisions based on what they believe is in the best interest of their state, of the country, of their children, grandchildren. I do not believe anybody should just automatically vote Republican or Democrat in any race. I believe you have to vote for the person, and I think that's what's important.
Would you at any point want to be involved in a Mike DeWine administration? If he should win, if you guys can get together on you voting for him, supporting him, possibly even endorsing him, would you want to be involved in a second term of Mike DeWine should he be reelected?
You know, I would always do whatever I can to help the state, to make the state move forward. If there was an opportunity for Jim Renee's to help, and if Mike DeWine is reelected, and Mike DeWine called me and said, Jim, I'd love to help have you help me. Of course I would, because my number one goal is really to make the state be the state that we can be more proud of, a state that our children and grandchildren want to stay at. Look, the statistics, Scott, haven't changed. The reason I ran against Mike DeWine is we're still the seventh most left state in the country. We're still ranked anywhere from 35th to 50th. None of that changed last week. We still have a state that's failing. In the end, if there's a way that I can help change our state, of course, I would help anybody do that, and I think that's the key. My goal was never I just want to be the governor. No, my goal was I want to change our state for the best. It's one of the reasons why you're not going to see Jim Renacci leave. I'm going to continue to do a lot of things. I've already been, I've got so many calls over this past week about ways that I can continue to move, the business first, Ohio business first process and program forward. There are a lot of things we can do in this state, and I'm going to continue to do that. And if I can do that in conjunction with whoever the next governor is, I would do that as well.
Anybody who saw any commercials or radio or television, internet, got any literature in the mail, heard interviews, you were very tough on Mike DeWine. I think a lot more difficult than maybe even you were on Blystone. Is this just the nature of politics? When the race is over and the winner is declared, even though a lot of bad stuff was said, nasty stuff was said, that you just at some point have to kiss and make up because you don't want the other person, the other party, to be in power?
Well, first off, if you notice, I never said anything negative about Mike DeWine personally. I think his policies are bad. I still think his policies are bad. And I would continue to say his policies are bad, but that hasn't changed. One of the things I did not, it's kind of funny when you talk about Blystone. For the last 10 months, I ran against Mike DeWine and Blystone ran against Jim Renacci. So Blystone was continuing to try and take votes away from me while I was trying to defeat Mike DeWine. And I think that's another situation that, when you jump into these races and you think, I'm going to just run against the guy who I think is going to win, that just causes more problems. And that's one of the reasons why Blystone could never have been successful. But when it comes to Governor DeWine, I am always going to criticize the policies that aren't taking our state forward, that aren't making Ohio, move in the right direction. And that's why I just told you, over the next 6 months, I'm going to continue to watch him. And if he continues to do the exact same thing that he's been doing, of course I'm going to continue to criticize him. That would be, again, it is not him personally, it's his policy.
When it came to the mandates with COVID and the alleged corruption in Columbus that a lot of people felt Mike DeWine was involved in, and I think you alluded to that during one of our interviews. Is that personal, or is that more political?
No, that's policy. Look, if you're going to run, I still believe Mike DeWine has, I never said it was illegal, but Mike DeWine is the ultimate pay-for-play politician. He knows how to use the system. He's used it to, and by the way, it's not illegal to use the pay-for-play system to your benefit. It's actually a system that needs to be changed and fixed in Ohio. But Mike DeWine used it in his best interest, and First Energy became a part of it. I still think First Energy is a horrible situation on our state. I'm still concerned that Mike DeWine and the legislature has not done anything to fix that. We could have another First Energy a year from now, 4 years from now, 10 years from now, because we haven't fixed the reasons the First Energy issue came to play. And look, if it comes out that Mike DeWine was part of that, which I do believe, he's got a whole bunch of tentacles wrapped around him, then shame on Republicans for voting him back in again. That'll be another issue. The only problem is that case will not come to fruition until after January of next year. The FBI and the prosecuting attorneys, the feds have said they're not going to prosecute any of those cases until after the inauguration of the next governor. So we'll see.
Want to turn to the other side very quickly, just because there was a little history made, and not because it's a Democrat, could have been a Democrat, could have been a Republican, but Nan Whaley was the first female nominated by a major party in Ohio to be candidate for governor. That did happen last Tuesday night, has never happened before. She would be the first female elected governor of Ohio if she should win. Oh, I think we lost Mr. Renacci. He will be back with us momentarily here, we hope. stick with us here, live radio. We just had a connection issue, and we will get him back. All right, let's take a little break here, and then we will come back with Jim Renacci momentarily here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Hold on a second. Maybe we'll have him back a little sooner than I thought. Here we go. Mr. Renacci, I think we lost you.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened there. Back to
Nan Whaley. The significance of her being the first woman nominated by a party, is that significant to you in any way?
Now, look, I'm a person who believes in qualifications, not the individual. Do I think more women should get involved? Absolutely. I think we should have women involved in all aspects of government. But I also believe it should be qualified women. I mean, Nan Whaley, I don't believe is qualified, which is one of the issues. I mean, one of the reasons why I can never vote for her, also because she's a Democrat, but and her policies and principles I 100% agree with. But I don't care whether you're a woman. I don't care. I just think we need to have qualified leaders. Leaders, it's important that we have those qualified leaders with principles and policies that will take our state forward.
In our remaining 8 minutes here, I do want to talk about the Senate race. The Senate race was very interesting, in which J.D. Vance prevailed and now will run against Tim Ryan in the fall. J.D. Vance, I believe it was 10 days before President Trump's visit to Delaware, Ohio, was polling in third place. He ended up winning that primary with 10%. Now, it was only about 32% of the vote, but 10%. He was polling third place until President Trump endorsed him. What does that say about President Trump's endorsement in Ohio?
Well, look, I've said all along that Ohio is not a Republican state. It's not a Democrat state. Remember, we have about 20% Republican, 20% Democrat, give or take a few percentage points. And we have almost 60% independent. Ohio is a Trump state right now. And when Trump endorses, you know, you do get an advantage. Now, it's interesting because former President Trump endorsed, I think, 12 people, but none of them really had competitive races. So the only race that really mattered was the Senate race. But I do believe that that endorsement plus a lot of money at the end, because J.D. Vance did spend a lot of money in the last 3 weeks, did give J.D. Vance the win. That endorsement without the money, you know, it would have been a much, much tighter race, but that endorsement probably gave him 10 points. So it brought him to a tie, and then the money he spent in the last 10 days really put him over the hump. But remember, he still only got 32% of the vote, and that's not a majority of Republicans, which means he now has to win over a lot more Republicans to win in November.
When we look at the gubernatorial race, because President Trump did not get involved in that primary, you did take 28% of the vote, nearly 300,000 voters, as we've said. You won two counties in Ohio. You certainly are a big player in the Republican Party. And I believe we're one of the first, if not the first, to throw your support behind President Trump when he ran for office the first time back in 2016 here in Ohio. Do you believe if he had endorsed you that it would have helped you propel past Mike DeWine?
Well, absolutely. Look, I do believe that President Trump's endorsement would have pulled Whitestone voters my way. Now, we still have a question that's not answered, and that is how many Democrats crossed over. So if there were more than 200,000 Democrats crossed over, I'm not sure the endorsement would have mattered. That's what's an interesting piece about this race. I do believe the Democrats that crossed over went to Matt Dolan, which propelled Matt Dolan up to third place. Remember, he was in fourth or fifth place. He moved up significantly. Something caused that to happen. But again, if you go back approximately 3 or 4 weeks ago, you know, the Democrats were saying, let's get behind Dolan and DeWine. So the numbers will tell a story. We don't know what those numbers are. But I do believe if 200,000 Democrats crossed over and you take those 200,000 Democrats away, I defeat DeWine anyway. But I also believe that the Trump endorsement would have been helpful.
Do you know why President Trump did not endorse you in that race or anybody else?
Look, if President Trump's going to run in 2024, he doesn't want to get involved in a governor's race that in a swing state like Ohio. I understand that. Although he did get involved in Nebraska, but Nebraska's not a swing state. And he lost last night. So, again, former President Trump, he makes decisions for certain reasons, but I know one thing. He didn't want to play in a governor's race that's going to be a very key state in 2024. Because then you're going to pick sides, and he needs all the Republican votes he can get in 2024. If he does decide to run.
Is this, in your opinion, was he playing politics? That I don't want to offend anybody who might vote for me in 2024? Because that would be a different that would be a different Trump than we have seen before.
Well, look, President Trump's a politician now. There's no doubt about it. He does play politics because he has to. If you're going to play in the game, you got to play the game. So I don't, you know, I'm not. I think he has to play the political game. He is a politician today, whether we like it or not, and he has to play inside the political game. So of course, he can't offend anyone if he's going to run in 2024. He needs the DeWine vote. If he runs, he needs the Renee's vote. He didn't want to offend anybody.
Do you think he will endorse Mike DeWine?
I don't know. That's a very good question. It's probably something you got to ask him. I didn't think he would endorse J.D. Vance, but he did endorse J.D. Vance. So, again, if you talk about politics. That was definitely a political decision, not a decision for any other purpose. So he may do that with Mike DeWine as well.
Two quick questions here, and I appreciate the time, Jim. When we look at this situation, the Republican candidates, the two major Republican candidates in Ohio, Mike DeWine and J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance got 32% of the vote. Mike DeWine got 48% of the vote. Even if there was Democratic crossover, they both won with less than half of the vote in their own party's primary. What does that say about the Republican Party in Ohio right now and the chances of winning in the fall? What needs to happen?
Well, first off, I've answered that by saying we have a divided party. It's divided into four quadrants, and where the Republican Party has failed is that they have not united the four quadrants. Now, the only thing good about Ohio is that the Democrats have no bench and have no real strong candidates. If the Democrats had strong candidates, Republicans might be in trouble. But the Democrats have very weak candidates, very liberal candidates. The candidate who probably will have the best opportunity for success is Tim Ryan, because Tim Ryan is more of a moderate. But the biggest problem with Tim is that Tim moves to the far left just to keep the support of his party. So now he has a problem as well, too. So in the end, the Republicans still are stronger, not because they can pull their quadrants together, as I call them, but because the other side is so bad. And I think that's really the problem with the party, is that we're lucky. But in the end, at some point in time, Democrats are going to field strong candidates, and that's where we need to be concerned.
The final question I have here for you, Jim, is when we come back to President Trump and a possible run in 2024, and not wanting to offend anybody and play politics here in the state of Ohio, if we look at this, we heard all these stories of the Senate candidates, the Republican Senate candidates, going down to Mar-a-Lago and asking for President Trump's vote, and who knows what our endorsement, and who knows what happened there. But did you ever ask President Trump for his endorsement, or were you given a reason as to why, from somebody in his campaign, that he was not going to do that?
Well, first off, no, I never asked for his endorsement. I talked to him multiple times. I really never look. I know former President Trump really well. If you ask for endorsement, that you normally won't get it. It's normally others that convince him of his endorsement policies and processes. So, but I talked to him about the race. I've talked to him about a number of things, but I never really asked him. If you look at this, I mean, I can guarantee you, J.D. Vance did not ask for President Trump's endorsement. President Trump gave J.D. Vance endorsement. In fact, I believe J.D. Vance only talked to President Trump one time in this past year. No, I mean, I guess to answer your question, I did not ask for his endorsement. And really what I was hoping he would do, think about this. Mike DeWine is the sitting governor in a Republican state, swing state. I think the better question is, and it's one of the reasons why I didn't ask for his endorsement, is the better question is, why didn't he endorse Mike DeWine? So I think for your listeners, that should be the question that's asked. And the real concern there is, I don't think he ultimately supports Mike DeWine's principles, policies, and positions. Go ahead.
Do you think that will change in the next 6 months?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Is there any condition, because you do have a relationship with President Trump, is there any condition where you would say, you know, you need to endorse Mike DeWine because the Republicans need to win here in Ohio?
No, I wouldn't. I would not. I would not ever. Again, people have to make their own decisions. You're never going to see Jim Renee asking anybody to endorse anyone. I mean, I do think that's the biggest problem. One of the biggest failures we have as a country and as a state and as communities and cities is, you shouldn't just support the party. You got to support the candidate. And even though I'm a Republican, I mean, I believe in Republican principles, policies, and positions, and I believe we need to support Republicans who believe in Republican policy principles and positions.
Did any of this race change your opinion of President Trump or the Democrat or Republican Party, this whole experience, this primary?
No, I've said all along that I'm still a staunch Republican, but it's Republican policies, principles, and positions. It's not the person. So that's never changed. When it comes to President Trump, I still support all of his policies, positions, and principles when he was president. So I will continue to do that as well.
Will he run in 2024?
Again, that's a question you got to ask him.
Jim Renacci, Jim, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and I hope we get to do it along the campaign path. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Jim Renacci, candidate in the Republican primary for governor, getting 28% of the vote. And we've had Jim on, I believe that was the third time we've had Jim on. Well, now you know the story of the Republican primary. If anybody has anything to say, give me a buzz here, 740-751-4038, 55 minutes past the hour. Again, that number, 740-751-4038. Any thoughts on that? Jim Renacci finished second in the Republican primary to current governor Mike DeWine. Mike DeWine currently the candidate, Republican candidate for governor, to face Democratic candidate Nan Whaley in the fall. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. Did that interview with Jim Renacci shed any light on anything you're thinking about this morning? As the pollen levels are horrible, you know, I talk about this every day, but people are miserable. If you don't have allergies, I think at this point you should feel very, very lucky. People are getting the migraine headaches. They're stopped up. They're turning on the air conditioning. They're doing everything they can do to beat this allergy spurt that we're having here this week. Don't forget, this morning we have Glenn Coble will join us at 10 a.m. till 12 noon. And then we'll have A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble and Dr. Feynman, 12:15 until 1. Then this afternoon, we've got Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 4:10 to 5 p.m. And then live at 5, The Show with No Name with Nate Redmond, Pastor Craig, and Terry Tackett, 5:15 until 6 p.m. And then the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6:10 until 7 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. Coming up on 57 minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio time. And during, again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. During the little phone issue there with Mr. Renacci, I lost, there we go. There's what I lost. Okay, we're going to take a slight break here and then come back with more, I hope, if I don't pull any plugs out here, on WWGH Radio. Stay tuned, back in a moment. Maybe back in a moment. It's one of those mornings. Let's see here. Well, I...
1-800-222-1222. 1-800-222-1222. If you think it might be poison, then the first thing you should do is call 1-800-222-1222. Poison can be anything you're not supposed to take. Antifreeze, pesticide, the wrong drug by mistake. If you breathed a nasty chemical, been bitten by a snake, call the Poison Control Center hotline. We're here for you night or day.
For a poison or drug emergency at home or at work, just call the Poison Control Center hotline. We're here 24-7 with the expert help you need. Free and confidential. Even if you think it's a false alarm, call
1-800-222-1222. 1-800-222-1222. If you think it might be poison and you don't know what to do, call 1-800-222-1222.
Well, if anybody runs into any poison today, they'll know what to do. 58 coming up on 59 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. Coming up on the top of the hour here. 64 degrees, mostly sunny skies here in Marion. 740-751-4038. Remember, WWGH is streaming live on the net at WWGH1071.com. You can download the free TuneIn app on any mobile device and search WWGH to listen anywhere in the world. All these ways to listen. Smart TVs, dots, Alexas, all kinds of stuff. I'm sure glad we got that working correctly. All right, we're going to break here. Be back in about 15 minutes. Don't switch
that dial. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From broadcasting legends Charlie Evers and Marianne Michaels. Marianne, what, 30 years in Marion City Schools?
Yes.
Did you ever think you'd live to see the day?
No. I mean, that was atrocious, I think. Absolutely horrible. No, never had anything like that. I'll tell you what, I never...